Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of You Must Be Joking with me, Eric Lawler.
Me, Will Arwee.
And today's guest is the wonderful, amazing broadcaster, podcaster, comedian, actress, salon owner,
Northsider,
TV presenter, Northsider. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Jennifer Zambonelli.
That's some intro.
Isn't it just?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer, it's great to have you in. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's great to be here.
We were, I know you a good while now. I know you from your Maguire days.
You know me from Republic of Telly years.
Republic of Telly years.
Yeah.
Do you remember those days?
I do remember them, yeah. I remember when Neil Delamay had done a force and I was in. I used to do a couple of bits and pieces for it.
Neil was
so
first.
We go back.
We go way back.
Yeah.
It was Neil and then it was
Jeremy.
And then it was Kevin.
And then Kevin, yeah. Three good friends of ours.
Yeah.
And they've all been on this.
It's
like a Republic of Telly reunion now at this stage.
Yeah.
Anyone else of prominence from the show? Only James Collar. We got James Collar in someday. He's next on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or don't.
Or don't. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Sorry, James.
Jennifer, first question. If your husband hadn't got such a cool second name, would you have taken it?
No.
No, okay, right.
No, so I like the
Zamparelli.
I like the Zamparelli,
It's class, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what it was? I was in the creche one day and I was filling out a form for my kids to get them in and they all kind of had the same name and I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to change this. I want to be part of that crew. I want to be in that team. I want us all to be, you know, this team, you know? And I quite like the sound of it.
Ah, it's brilliant.
And yeah, and now I can be Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
You?
Yeah, Jay-Z, actually. Yeah. Jesus,
maybe
brilliant.
Not at the moment, but like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When he was cool. Cool Jay-Z.
When he wasn't going to parties.
Before he went to those parties,
Before all the alligators.
Jennifer, like a lot of people who are listening to this podcast will be of a similar vintage to myself and Willie, so they know your background. Yeah, but I suppose to be a lot of younger people as well who wouldn't know that you came to prominence in The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that when you were on that, Jen, and going, she's a fucking feisty, bleeding Irish woman. Fair folks to her. And you had this persona on it. But like, even like everyone's like, what's Lord Sugar really like? Is he really a prick or what?
Yeah, he is.
Lovely.
He is.
Lovely.
I was actually talking about this today because I was doing an interview and somebody said, what's your most embarrassing moment ever? And I said, one that stuck out was when I was on The Apprentice and we were gathered, all the contestants, and he came in for the first time. We were in this big room and he went to point at someone and I was right up the front and I thought he was going to high five me.
Are we on them?
Yeah. I went to high five him. I went, no, he's not going to do that. And he just completely blanked me and was front of everybody. And I nearly died.
Mortal.
It was horrendous.
Was no wonder you were angry on that show.
I was so angry. But it was a great experience because it was way back in the day. It was series 3. So it was
what
quite
year?
Oh, Jesus. 2006.
Right.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's when we started.
Jesus Christ.
So 2006. And I used to work in sales in Bristol. And I used to watch this and go, oh my God, I could do a much better job. I love sales. I can do that. You know when you're watching these shows, he's a dope. Why did you just pick up the phone and do this? So I applied because I wanted to live in London and Leah was there at the time. And I thought, it's a 100 grand a year job. I'd love to do that. I could,
you could use 100 grand.
I could use that. I applied. There was like 15,000 applicants. I remember getting through, being over the moon, going and thinking, this is going to be a great experience. And I immediately knew I was completely wrong on the first week. And I think it was like our first day we were filming and we were on this market and we were selling fish and we won and we went back and they held us in this room, no bigger than this.
Right.
Before we went into the boardroom. Now, we were stinking of fish. They kept us in the room for 5 hours. We were starving. They brought us into the boardroom. They shot that scene. And then when we went back to the house, they said, okay, sorry, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but you need to get into your good gear because we're going to shoot the meal now.
Fuck.
Shot that in the middle of the night and then they woke us up at 5:30 to go do the next time. So it was mentally... It was torture.
It's like Guantanamo Bay.
It was torture. And I'm watching the Jerry Springer Show at the moment.
Oh,
you know the documentary?
Yeah.
I'm like, how did they get away with that back then? They did. And they did on The Apprentice as well. Because I remember being in the house living with all the other contestants. And there was a pantry that should have been filled with food and was just full of Jack Daniels. and Skittles. So like E numbers and whiskey. Wow. That's going to make you go bananas. So we were tired. We were emotional. We were angry.
Hungover.
Great telly, though.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Do you think it was a deliberate ploy?
It was a deliberate ploy, but you wouldn't get away with that now.
No.
Things have happened.
Yeah.
And to be really sad about it, people have died. You know what I mean? It's, you know, reality telly is a really, really scary place.
It really is.
And it really toughens you up. So that's all the negative stuff. But the one good thing about The Apprentice was we were setting up businesses in the morning, whether it was a laundry service, selling door to door. And it was making money by the afternoon, right? And that's a fact. Like, that's what we were doing. And I thought, Jesus, if I can do this here, surely I can do this at home. And then when I got fired on episode 8 or whatever, I came back to Ireland and set up a business straight away.
And did you use whatever techniques you learned?
I did.
Yeah.
Did you not see us? You're selling fish on O'Connell Street.
Very well.
Yeah.
McGuire Winkles and
fish. Come here. The question scary. I always wanted to ask you as well, because I used to watch it a bit. But, and is the tone around when they wake you up in the morning, say at 5 o'clock, and go, you have to be downstairs in an hour? Do you literally have to be downstairs in an hour?
Yeah, sometimes less. I mean, it was. Fuck. It was just.
How can my missus not get ready in an hour, but women on the telly in The Apprentice can get
amazing.
Ready in an hour? Like, what's that about, Jen?
I can't answer that for you.
It's a lot to do with the Skittles. It's a lot to do with the Skittles and the Jack Daniels.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
So that's obviously it came to prominence then through that, Jen. And then like, what I love about you, Jen, right, is that I always say, when anyone mentions you, I always say, Jen, gas bitch. I hope you don't mind me saying that. Gas bitch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I think you're very, very funny. Like in the Republic of Telly, like even the interviews and the fear, you're fearless is what I was kind of always impressed with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I watched a sketch there recently you did on the fear, I think it was. Yeah, it was the fear about the water meter.
Oh, yeah.
Jen was pretending to work for the council and she was going around the houses and asking for water meters to be installed. But there were these horrible big contraptions and he walked up to him and said, yeah, just here with the water meter, just need to, you can just stick it on your sink and it's really quiet and all. And then your man turns around and Jen is like, so as you can see, it's still really quiet. You can barely hear it. Like. And your woman's like in her dressing gown going, I fucking grieve for it. Losing it, like getting really angry.
What's your name again?
I've told you.
Geraldine.
Obviously something wrong
Geraldine.
With you if you're raising your voice.
Geraldine.
Because I've told you my name once.
Geraldine, is it? Yeah.
Can you remember?
Look, I'm just really stressed out because my boss is
in
the area.
You're stressed out?
Look, my boss is in the area and he's going to freak out. I have to get all
tell
the house.
To fuck off,
I can't tell him to fuck off. He's,
well,
he's a little bollocks.
Off. Goodbye.
You'll tell him if I call him. Okay, all right. I'll get him on the phone and you can talk. But I'm just going to tell you now. He's like Hitler. You don't want to get in his
really?
Bad side. And he's giving out fines.
Do you know what I'm like?
He's giving out fines to people.
Do you know what? Wipe my arse with the fine.
Well, you can talk to him.
I will talk to him.
And is it a son or a partner or something comes into the garden and she goes into the house, right, because Jen has walked into the garden now and the small person's at the gate and the bloke that goes into the garden goes, oh, get out of this garden, oh, why was you? But she comes out with a big knife.
Yeah.
A big knife. And Jen had to go, well, we're RTE from a distance. We're from RTE, we're doing a hidden camera show, we'll be with you. But Jesus,
do you know
Christ.
What was going through my head then?
Yeah.
We can go have lunch now. We'll get her to sign we're done, because you know when you do a hidden camera show, you know, some it's real hit or miss, you don't know if they're going to sign, you don't know if you're going to get anything good,
right.
So you're out there, you're working your arse off, dude. I mean, it's the hardest gig ever, I would say, than just rocking up to set and reading lines, because you're out with the public, you don't know what the reaction is going to be, you don't know if it's going to be funny. So when this woman came at me with a knife like Crocodile Dundee, I was like, fucking deadly. I can go home after this.
And where were you? Where was the area you were in filming it?
I think we were in Ballyfermot or somewhere.
Yeah, typical.
Well, you go to those, you know, you're going to get a bit of crack. You know, these people are not going to take any shit.
Are.
But it worked so well because it was around the time that we're, you know, people were protesting against water charges and all that.
Yeah,
so that's why it hit a nerve. Yeah. It hit a nerve with her and she was brilliant and she was great.
Come here, did you ever go and do any, because we asked PJ this as well, didn't we, about naked camera. Did you ever go and do one and they never signed and kind of went, that would have been
loads.
That would have been a classic. Like,
loads.
There's was
been,
there?
Yeah, there was loads of them. And it's just, I think the sales in me come back to my previous experience. I'm very good at getting them to sign.
Yeah.
Right. Do you know what I mean? I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want them to look like a fool. I want to look like a fool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she actually came out brilliant because she looked like, yeah. like no one's going to be robbing her house.
That's true.
You know, yeah. no one's going to be going here. And she was just brilliant. But we've had loads of that. But it's just law of averages. You have to do so many and then, you know, 10% you'll get or whatever.
I was like, in that situation, that one producer knife, was there other kind of close encounters where you felt the wrath?
There was a close encounter in Ibiza when I went there and I was, I used to do nightclubs and get a bit of crack out of nightclubs.
That's a brilliant, sorry, that clip, that famous clip.
Of the guy.
Yeah. He was like, I just walk up to her and I say, how are you? And Jen's brilliant retort was, geez, you're very, very calm. You must have a big cock about you because you're in bits.
You know what you're saying. You know what you're doing. If you ask him the right things, then he can get any Jordy
bloke. You're very confident for an ugly bloke. You must have a massive cock.
But I did give him an opportunity to reply. I held the mic at him for ages and he had nothing, so fuck him.
But that clip always resurfaces every now and then and does the rounds.
I was standing at the top of the stairs, dancing with the stars and all my finery, thinking I'm deadly, thinking, look how gorgeous, like, I'm look how fine, yeah. look, it's all yeah, my yeah. finery. who was it? Somebody said to me, one of the contestants going, is that you that did that clip saying your mouth would have a massive talk? I was like, damn it! It haunts me. It haunts me, that clip. But I was in Ibiza and I remember filming, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, we were down this street and it was mental. And, you know, when you put up a camera and there's a light on it, it's like moth to a flame. You know, the drunks, they just come out. I remember being with Derek Dillon, who I shot all my stuff with. Yeah. And he said, if I put the light on this camera 2 o'clock in the morning, you start going around with your mic taking the piss, we're going to be thrown in that fountain. Like, they're not going to have any of it. And he said to me, please, please, please. Just don't be yourself.
Don't be your usual self, Jen.
Don't be yourself.
Is that what he said to you?
Just be nice. That's what he said to me. And I was like, okay. And it was the best piece of advice. But there were some hairy moments. You know, there were people grabbing you and pushing you and all that kind of stuff. But different times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different times.
Back then, you were allowed to grab a woman.
When you think about it, like, the program's called The Fear. And the fear most of the time would be for you. In fear for your own safety. Especially, I mean, you're going to Ibiza, you're going into a nightclub area. People are intoxicated. People are fucking taking substances. Yeah. And you're there with a microphone and a camera crew. Like, and anything can happen. Like,
yeah, but you're so, like, I was so young and the brief was to go out and just have a buzz and take the piss. And I thought, okay, well, this is telly. And I trusted James Cotter, as you mentioned earlier. This is what you do, and you know, and I wanted to do a good job, and that's what I did. But there's things that I did back then that I probably would never say to people now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like, if you were asked to do something like that again, like the insulting interviews were amazing. I loved them, the red carpet ones and all that. Fucking amazing. Like, but that takes real balls and courage to do that. To be, you know, somebody like one of the big stars comes up, has the good grace, I suppose, to come over to your mic. And they think you're going to ask them a nice question, and then Jen just fucking insults.
Was Ross Brown in that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you actually went for an audition for
it. So did I. Yeah, we didn't get it, did we?
Yeah, no.
No.
Anyway. That's a disgrace.
Sure, look, that's meant to be for you. Well, meant to be if you won't pass your boy.
Exactly. But the biggest stars were always the best crack. Yeah. Like the Will Ferrells and, you know, all those people who you meet on the red carpet at the. Because they are so bored.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of listening to the same question. And when you ask them. It's something different. I remember saying to Nicky Byrne when I met Westlife, this is before I worked with him, and I met all the Westlife lads. He's answering all these questions on the red carpet, and I just said, how big's your cock?
I just heard you saying that you get asked the same question all the time.
Yeah,
on the red carpet.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
How big's your
none of your business. I haven't been asked that one before, though.
So he keeps on getting asked the same question all the time.
Okay.
So I asked him how big was, but he never answered.
Right, okay. Well, I do know how big it is, but I'm not going to tell you. His or mine?
Okay, well, tell me about yours first.
Well, mine is bigger than his. That's all I'm going to tell you.
I would never say that now to someone. But I did back then.
Well, that's great, because Nicky's coming on the podcast soon as well.
We'll ask him again.
Just ask him how big his cock is.
Yeah.
Does this ring the bell?
We have a listener sent in a question.
How big is our cock? a Gen Z
Gen Z, sorry.
She's always asked me that question.
And then, right, so the Fair, and then Republica Telly came along, and again, Jen, like I did a few sketches, like the bigger sketches with
That's
the groups,
right.
The Irish Wedding, for instance, I was in that one.
Yeah.
And like again, like acting, I wanted to. Sorry, that's what I was getting to, Jen. Acting, like you do have acting chops, right?
Yeah, she does.
You
definitely.
Play them parts so well. Your timing is really good. Your presence is really good. Is it something that's ever come up? A thought that you might like to try it a bit more?
It's always there.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing, that itch that I can't scratch it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's something that I really want to do. And I suppose, giving up the radio, I don't know if you know, Willie, but I gave up the radio.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was listening today and I was going, Jesus, Jen must have got a sex change or something.
She got the day off of the podcast.
How are you doing? Now, come here. And look, we're obviously going to touch on it. I don't listen to radio an awful lot. If I'm driving around the van and
you listen to Dave, because I heard that episode.
Exactly.
You listen to Dave, you fucking liar. I listen to Dave.
No, yeah. I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I'm listening to podcasts at the moment, usually crime stuff. I'm listening to Steak Night from BBC about your man Scapatici, the undercover informant for the British soldiers up in the north when all the troubles was going on. Freddie Scapatici. Steak Knife was his code name. So that kind of shit like that.
Light stuff.
But I didn't. I genuinely didn't
meditation.
Know. And the last time me and you would have met was in Ballymun.
That's right.
And you were still working for the radio station you worked for. And that was the last time I met you. And over the years, look, we've crossed paths and I met you obviously years ago. We done that interview off Grafton Street and that.
That's right.
But I thought you were great on the radio. I thought the radio show was great when I listened to it. I have to say, but I'm not big on radio. Yeah, I'm not
it depends on when you're in the car, I suppose.
Yeah,
when you kind of go to the radio, I think. But so I'm not on the radio.
But
so
like,
I do.
Now
think
you have that time off. Is the acting something you're seriously considering?
Eric, I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to do something. I've done a little bit since I've been off, and
can you tell us?
No.
Okay, that's all right.
That's all right.
It's for RT. It's a comedy program. I'm not good enough for
That's the biggest comedy on RT at the moment.
But I'd love to do stage because I love the live aspect.
Yeah.
Would you?
I love the live aspect. I think I thrive in the live element.
You,
so
need, to come,
to
you need to come and see my play with your husband.
Yes, I do.
I'm on the ambassador for 4 nights, yeah. Yeah, so I'm an award-winning actor, believe it or not.
I am.
Yeah, I won the best actor at the Dublin Fringe Festival in 2019.
And I won best actor at the London Ealing Film Festival.
Well, I know you're an actor, but I didn't know.
Acting the bollocks.
Well, you kind of have to do a bit of everything.
You
don't
do, don't you?
I do think it all feeds into the one
jack,
like,
of all trades.
But when I'm standing on the set for Dancing with the Stars and there's a live audience there and it's live and you can fuck up, I draw on my acting, my radio experience, my sales experience. I draw on all of that to get me through the bloody thing.
But you can always, you know, without blowing smoke up your ass, you have it, like, you have the pizzazz, you have the sense of humour, you've also got the girl next door kind of thing, so you've got the likability, and I mean you really can't fuck it up. You just kind of just go with it.
No, you can't fuck
can
it up.
You?
Oh, yeah.
100%. I've fucked it up so many times.
I've been out at the show a couple of times with my ma. She's her favourite show on the
Eric
world.
Don't get started on Dancing with the Stars.
Here we go, his audition now. But it's I've seen the whole show from start to finish and I'm like blown away by the fact that it is live and yous all have to fucking, you know, be in a certain position, say certain things. Now, I know there's an auto cue. Is there an auto cue? Let's say that.
There is an auto cue,
yeah. Yeah, let's say that. But, I'm like, because I know you as well, I'm like, hoping she doesn't fuck it up. But you don't, you never do. And
my ma said to me, because she's never come out to the live show, right? She said, I'll come out to this series before you get fired. Because that's inevitably going to happen. You know, it'll happen. Let's be honest, Jennifer. You know, you've had a good run, you know. So my family are very like, geez, you're very lucky now. Like, you're doing well now.
Yeah. Look at you doing well.
You're going to be found out soon.
But it's funny because I remember somebody saying to me the other day when we were in rehearsal, they're like, oh, it's a long old work day, isn't it? And I was like, work? This is not work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not fucking work to me.
It's having the crack.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I've worked. I've done door-to-door sales. I've cleaned toilets. I've done it. I've done work. I've done jobs.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to say shitty jobs because I loved all of them, but this doesn't feel like work to me. You're kind of standing there going, probably when you're on stage and you're making people laugh, going, how am I getting paid for this?
It's mad. I totally agree with what you say. Like, I mean, so we're privileged. Privileged to be what to do what we do, aren't we? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I love. I think
work
just
is work. That's not work.
I personally think that there's just magic in being able to get up onto a stage in front of a room full of strangers, and not only make them laugh but entertain them. You know, it's entertainment. No matter what you're doing, whether you're in front of a television screen, in front of people at home, or you're on a stage having a bit of crack, like it's an amazing ability. A lot of people just cannot do that. They go, no, I could not. Do that, and then you get the ones that go, oh, I could do it, yeah, but I'd need a drink. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it is. It's a great gift to have. It is. I love it. I'd do it forever, like, if I could.
Yeah.
I'd like to go like Tommy Cooper. I'd like to take a massive heart attack on stage. Good night, good luck, see you later.
Yeah, I want to do a Mike Murphy. I want to, when the time's right, just fuck off somewhere.
Disappear into
just
the
disappear ether. And just leave.
Is that what he done?
He just fucked off to America, I think.
Isn't that great? Where's Mike? I think he's
in Florida. I think he just fucked off to Florida, to
wasn't
be honest
he,
with you.
Something recently? Oh, no, he was interviewed recently. Now, obviously, he's a bit older now.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he was into, what the context was.
I think he was on that. He went back to the Late Late Show, and I think he was talking about Gay, probably after Gay died. And Gay Byrne always said, this is my worst fear, he always said, I wish I spent less time in here as well. Right. You know what I mean? Because I think there comes a time, like, you don't want to be married to it either, you know, and keeping your priorities straight is very, very important. Like, back in the day, when in my 20s, and 30s, I probably would have, like, I missed my sister's wedding for a TV show.
Whoa. Okay.
No, it was a shotgun wedding.
All right, sound.
Put that out.
She won't mind. He's 16 now. But, like, I missed that because I was like, well, I'm on this TV show and I can't miss it. Like, I would never do that now. I would never. You know, I've turned down gigs because my kid had a match or something, because there comes a point where you go, no.
So did that play a big part in your thinking then when you left the radio job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started getting busier, and my kids are at a stage, because when they're babies, like, they don't remember it until they're four.
Yeah, really. Yeah. That's so right. Like, first
14.
Yeah.
Don't remember it until they're 14.
So, like I, on my first one, I went back. I didn't take much maternity. I was back after 9 weeks. Like, my boobs were still leaking in the studio with Bernard and Keith. I was saying to Bernard, you need to keep an eye when the guest comes in.
Two gutters underneath and a downpipe.
Yeah. I was like, I'm leaking in the studio here, literally. So,
get a plumber.
So I was like, I'm not going to do that again. But there was a time and a place for that. But now I would never do that. Now it's family first, and that's great. And I've worked my arse off for so long. I got to a place where I'm privileged enough to be able to go, I can take a little step back from radio. Some people can't do that, but I could. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it and see what happens, and leave space for maybe some acting and some other gigs and more time with the family. And it's been, I'm flat out in the gym as well.
Yeah. Well, you're in great shape, Jennifer. Fair play to you. 6 months you're gone from the radio now. Has it flown in? Has it dragged in? Do you miss it or anyway?
It's been perfect. I miss my team.
Yeah.
But I was on to Cormac Battle there today asking him about BMXs. And I do miss them, and I miss the liveness, and I miss
The crack
in the team. Yeah. But I don't have any regrets.
Okay.
So how long have you been there altogether, Jennifer? Going back to
10 years.
So with Bernard and Keith, and then you said 10 years. Wow, where's the 10 years at the counter?
They went very, very quickly. You know, we did 5 years on Breakfast, and then he asked me to take over the 9 o'clock slot, and I did that for 5 years, and I loved every minute of it. But I'm very much, I have to move on, otherwise I feel like I don't grow.
You're getting stale kind of thing.
I just found myself going, I don't think I can do anything more here.
Yeah.
And if I don't get out of here, I won't give myself that chance as well. And also, my dad was sick at the time, and I had to take time out to look after him. And that kind of reminded me of priorities.
Yeah.
But it was enough. It was enough. And I've kind of done it. Like, I was in the UK for 5 years, and then I came back and I ran my studio for 5 years. I was on Republic of Telly for probably around the same. I was in Breakfast for 5 years. I kind of do things in these 5 year stints.
Right.
So it was coming to the 5 years of my own show on radio, and I was like, something needs to change. Either I go for it or I do something else.
So what are you hoping for to do in the next? What would you actually? So if you had, if you could do something for the next 5 years, what would be your ideal thing? Like, would you do something in television? Would you like to do a film? Would you like to go to the stage? What would be if you could choose it yourself?
I would like to say I'd like to do stage work. My agent would probably say you're a fucking idiot. Go yeah. and ask for screen work because it's easier yeah. and it's better money. But I think with my kids being so small and Leo being so busy with work, I'd like to dip in and out creatively of stage and film and theatre and a bit of, like, I love telly and I love making telly, and hopefully there's stuff down the line yeah. coming there.
I think you're very, very creative. Would you not try write something? Would that cross your mind?
Yeah.
To write something yourself, maybe, and get me and Eric involved in another couple of actors.
Just go for it, yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it
and
be great?
And we go to Joe Dollar and they have the
yeah.
money?
Yeah, they'll fund it.
They'll fund it.
Wouldn't it be great to bring something to stage yourself? Like, yeah. Have you ever been on stage? Have you yeah. ever performed in plays and that?
Yeah, I did for years. Right. And then the last thing I did was with Jason Donovan on the board Gosh. I did Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, shit. Wow, yeah. Look at you. Fuck.
Yeah, I had to go over to London to Pineapple Dance Studios and audition. I shat myself because
can you dance?
So,
wow, Jennifer.
I have the fear of dance, but I can move. Yeah. I can move.
Would you?
I did the board Gosh.
Jason Donovan. 2 weeks, yeah.
Gee, and what was that like? Was it exhilarating?
It was mental,
was it terrifying?
Because I watch Neighbours at 1:30 every day.
Yeah.
And you're like, I probably, you know, I dreamt about this man. Yeah. And now I was playing his wife in Priscilla.
Wow. That's mad.
And it was like wild.
No, it is. It is mad when you look at that. And it's such a big performance as well, and such a big space to go in there and do something like that.
When you talk about being on stage with like someone from your childhood, your hero, almost your icon, I had a very similar experience on stage. Like, the one big theatre thing that I did was with Dustin Turkey.
Iconic. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And it was called, what was it called?
Dustin. Isn't it iconic?
It was basically because Dustin was blackballed by the media because of his disgracing Ireland in the Eurovision.
He was what?
Blackballed.
That sounds like a blatant category in Pornhub.
No, that's blue ball.
Yeah, that's blue ball. Yeah. So he was ostracised from the entertainment industry, and I played his mate Brady, and we lived on the Long Mile Road, and it was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my whole life, Jennifer. 2:45 halves, me on stage, fucking, no, having to know every poxy
sponsored
line,
by Paxo,
bleeding, Dustin in a van beside me on the stage, but obviously Johnny's underneath reading the bleeding script. Yeah. I had to remember everything, and I nearly had a nervous breakdown at the start. We missed opening night.
Yeah, but you know what you say, Eric?
I wasn't ready for the fucking. I still didn't know all the lines. I was getting them, but. And it taught me a big lesson that if you're ever going to go into rehearsals for a play, you have to be off book from day one. Yeah. I thought, because I was inexperienced on theatre, I went, sure, I'll learn the lines when I go into the rehearsals. And we missed the opening night, and the woman that ran the play was fuming.
Would you still speak to Dustin?
Yeah. Oh, like, we are bros.
Get him on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they say, Eric? Never walk with animals or children.
Yeah. But he was like, yeah, come here, he's an idol of mine. I love Dustin, he's gas. Actually, that's a good show. I'd love to get him on the podcast.
Get him in the nip.
He'd be here slagging us the whole time.
Well, come here, Eric, the pantomime. Wasn't the pantomime some crack?
Oh my God, we did an
adult. We done an adult's pantomime, Tinderella.
It was
in the Olympia.
We'll show you the photographs after. Me and Eric,
ugly sisters.
We're the ugly sisters.
I was in the Olympia.
Yeah.
I was at the show in the afternoon that day.
Oh, the matinee for the ordinary
the kids,
panto.
Yeah. That wild?
Oh my God!
Mental.
We had no
it
rehearsals.
Was mental.
We had no rehearsals.
We literally met up for a read-through out in Tree Rock in...
That was about 2 months before it.
Yeah, so we all met up. Everyone got a script. We sat there. Ryan. Ryan read through the script. We're like, Grant, Eric got a script. I got a script. I says to Eric, come on up to the gaff on a Monday evening. We'll do a bit of read-through. And it was a shambles. But you know what? For people that I know that have seen it,
I heard
said
it was
one of the funniest things they ever seen in their life.
That's what you want from panto. You want to see a shambles.
Well, because I've done panto before, Jennifer, and there's been times when you'd love to go. Yeah, it's just times when you'd love to go, fuck off, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But you can't, obviously, because kids. No. But then you were going out, and the freedom of it. Like, me and him were the ugly sisters, and we had Tinderella. She was like, I'm after getting a ticket for the ball. And me and him were like, you're not going, you little gay bag. kind of
thing. Look at the ball you gave, like, a load of stuff to be done in there.
Yeah.
And she's like, brilliant.
Well, I did all them chores. No, you fucking didn't. There's a bleeding list of them here. And when you finish that, you can fuck off to the forest and you can bring us some fucking wood back. That's what you can fucking do. And like, it was just that.
It was
the
brilliant.
The whole time.
Wasn't it?
And I'm raging, I missed it.
On their bleeding backs laughing. The reaction was so big that I think they're going to put on a few next year.
Great.
Yeah, or this year. Yeah, so it was a great experience.
And that's brilliant, because I do feel sometimes comedy, wherever it is, it tries to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want a lesson.
Yeah,
just make me laugh.
Yeah,
I just want Joe. And that's the beauty about that is you just
no
go
narrative.
To these things.
Yeah.
No, there's no hugging or kissing, like, whatever Seinfeld said.
There was
said,
just a part even where Eric went like, we done that part already.
Oh, yeah,
I know he went, well, we're not getting enough money to fucking remember the lines. And anyway,
they love that.
It was just a great bit of crack.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, now in your career, you're on the telly again, Dancing with the Stars. Every season, I keep thinking, this is the last season.
So do I.
And then another season. I did an interview there recently, I think, and you said you were so relieved when you got the call, because you can't just expect that you're going to get the call. But I would always associate you as being like the fucking, you know what I mean? Like the
anchor
pillar
woman
of Dancing with the Stars. You know, I mean, Nicky Byrne hooked off and you're still there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think when I see you
him
now, Jenna, go,
him and his big Mickey.
Yeah. Oh, we don't know what size Mickey.
Like you're going to have to find that out.
So that show, do you love it?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I love doing it. I love, because there's very few shows that you work on that is that kind of show busy. It's glitz, it's glamour, it's show busy, and it's singing and dancing, and it's just brilliant. And you kind of feel, oh my God, should I be here? Because they're like athletes. They're like,
oh my God, so
phenomenal
talented.
What they do. But I just love it. And I go out there thinking every show is my last, because it could be. And I just love doing it.
Yeah.
I love the crack. And I, do you know what it is? It's when the ratings come in, when they're really, really good, I go, oh God, wasn't I brilliant? When the ratings are bad, I'm going, oh, we need to get a better cast next year. Like you can blame it on other people. Do you know what I mean? It's such an ensemble. There's so many of us. Like when we did Bridget and Eamon for 4 series, you feel the weight of, you know, the pressure of people watching and critics and all that. But when you're in a big, you know, juggernaut of a show like Dancing, you just do your little bit and off you go.
And yourself and Darren now co-hosts, and he's looked like he's obviously get on.
We get on great.
Yeah.
We get on great. It would be much better crack for the press if we didn't.
Of course it would be. Yeah.
But it's great. And I am, I'm out the door. I was on the last show, my producer was on the wide and she was in my ear going, Jen, you look like you're leaving. I was like, fuck it, I am. I'm getting out of here. Like, there's a running joke. I'm the first one in the car. I'm not even in the car. I'm in the Ford van because I take the van on the weekends because it's a 2-seater and now needs the car for the kids. So the audience are coming out in droves and I'm there in my big Ford van going, see ya! booting down the M50, and I like when the credits are rolling, like I'm on the phone to my mum getting the rundown of the show.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
She's,
that's
like,
brilliant.
are you in the van already? I'm like, I'm out of there.
The credits are still on the telly and you're in the van.
Yeah, I'm in the van.
Zam with the van.
Yeah, so I love it. Love driving the van, by the way.
I think that Fred Cook is going to be amazed when he hears he's a Natalie. He's going to be going,
he loved it.
He's going to be saying, does Mrs. Play that back?
He loved it. And he was great.
What blows my mind is that in that show, like, obviously the professional dancers, they're incredible, as you say, athletes. And always, like, in this series, Reese McLennan, what's your man's name, the Taekwondo lad?
Jack Woolley.
Yes, Jack Woolley. Like, if they're looking at those lads, that was me Taekwondo, by the way.
I thought you were doing someone on doing the robot on cocaine.
Yeah,
I thought you were having a stroke.
There's always lads every year who are particularly good, or not just lads, ladies as well. And is it a deliberate ploy of Shinawil to go out when they interview or they ask people, have you done a bit of dancing before? Is that a prerequisite for some of them? Because they always have one or two who are shy.
Yeah.
You know, but they're nice and they're lovely people and you want them to do well.
But the best winner doesn't always, the best dancer doesn't always win.
Well, that's true. Johnny Ward didn't win and I thought he was amazing.
Carol Mullen won.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
wasn't the best dancer. But when you're watching a dance show, you do want to see people who can dance as well.
Yes.
Like if I'm sitting down, like as an audience member, you don't just want to see the crack and then, you know, do knee slides for fucking one and a half minutes. You want to see someone who can. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Danny O'Carroll, who did the Three Arena with Mrs. Brown's Boys, sold out three shows. So nervous. But I said, look what you have over all these other poor unfortunates. I said, we don't know how they're going to react when the cameras go on, the lights go up. We don't know how they're going to be when it comes to it.
Fair point.
Because you know what it's like. You rehearse something, you go and do it. But when it comes down to it, 6:30 and they go, we're live. You have one chance.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how these people are going to react. Weather girls and, you know, people who
are not used to that.
Who are not used to
it's
performance.
A lot of pressure. Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure and people break. And it gets harder and harder and harder as the weeks go on. They put so much pressure on themselves. It's a really difficult thing to do. It really is.
They start practicing in November or so, do they?
Yeah, they kind of get signed up around August, I think, and then they start rehearsing in November. So their first dance, they've had loads of rehearsal.
Yeah, it's always really good.
Yeah, and then Sunday comes, goes, okay, we're back into, you have a week to do the next dance, you know.
And not 3 months.
Yeah,
like the
yeah.
last time. Wow. Yeah. Who has been, when you look back in the whole, all the series, Jennifer, who do you think was the best dancer overall? Who's the king? Who was the queen of all the dancers, in your idea, in your mind?
I'm not going to say Lottie because she won, but I'm going to say Ryan, who you worked with on the panto.
Ryan Andrews.
Really?
Yeah.
Ryan Andrews was absolutely
smashing it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
He just had it. And he has it when you see him do panto
as
well.
I know.
Yeah.
He just had it. He's one of those weird principal boys in panto that he's actually kind of, he's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't get that a lot in panto. They're always a bit gunky, as I say. They're a bit of a gunk. But he's not. He has the suave. He's kind of cool. And he was just brilliant. He was a brilliant dancer and just got better and better and better.
Yeah, he really was.
I'd love to go on it.
You should do it.
I would love. I sent Larry Bass an email. I sent him two, actually. I sent him a video with a knife. No, I didn't. Like, the first time I texted him and he said he didn't know whether it was going to get commissioned again for another series, and I was like, grand. And then it went on then, and then I sent him another one. I said, look, I'd win it.
And that's how confident William is.
That's how confident I am. I'm a good dancer. I'm not saying I'm a brilliant dancer.
I'll put a word in for you. They never listen
to
me. 100%.
If I knew what was going to happen, obviously I'd get rid of a bit of the Ned Kelly, because I know you need to be on your game, because it's very
demanding physically.
Physically, yeah.
You do that through the process.
Yeah.
Look.
It was Elaine Crowley who's been saying how like she didn't realise how physically demanding it would be. But she said it's the best thing she's ever done in terms of losing weight or whatever. Like, she says she's in great shape now and the pounds are just falling off her. So she said even if she gets eliminated, she'll probably still keep doing it kind of thing, like, you know.
Because they're training 8 hours a day.
Wow, that is a lean commitment, isn't
it? Fuck that.
Garode's in it at the minute, isn't he?
Yeah.
Can I just talk about Garode for a sec?
Yes, of course you can.
Because we were filming a little opening sketch before show one, and they're all coming in, and I was like, how are you getting on? You enjoying it? And they're all going, oh God, I'm terrified. And, oh, I can't get steps. Garode came in. He was the only one out of all of them that went. He said it 6 times. I counted. I'm just having the best fun. I'm having the best fun. I just love it so much. And I was like, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And that's how you'll win it.
Yeah,
it's about enjoying it and not enjoying it.
Vote for your favourite, but I really would like to see him go far, because he's putting in a lot of work. He gets in his head a little bit, you know, he thinks about it too much, but he's really good.
Yeah,
he's really decent.
That would be out of my comfort zone. Now I did it.
That's why you should do it.
Yeah, maybe. I did a couple of charity events where I had to do dancing, and it was
you can
was
go on
a
season
terrifying.
After me, Eric.
Yeah. We can go on as a couple. No, one of us has to be a pro.
Yeah.
But it was one of the most terrifying things I ever did, and I was doing it was Breast Cancer Ireland. They had a big thing in the exhibition centre, and it was a big glitzy load, like hundreds of people at it, and we were paired up with breast cancer survivors, and I had a beautiful woman, Anne. I hope she's listening. No, I wouldn't say she is listening, but if she is, if somebody that knows is listening, tell her I said hello. Anne was my partner, and we did Proud Mary, you know, Tina Turner.
Great song.
Yeah. I was in the tux and she was in the dress, and then we went out and did another number, and I had to wear a dress and she was in a tux.
Was she?
Yeah. And it was, but We were in those studios where the DWTS crew do be practicing down by the Three Arena there.
That's right.
Yeah. So we were rehearsing there.
Liffey Truss.
Yes, Liffey Truss. That's the one. In the studios. And we were rehearsing 3 or 4 times a week for about, I'd say, a month. And I was doing my best. But as you say, once it's live, I just forgot everything. Do you know what I mean? Just forgot everything.
That's the studio ghost, Jen.
Yeah,
you have a studio ghost. Yeah, something happened there.
Yeah, Peter does that when we're about half an hour.
That's him reminding us to wrap it up there.
Yeah, it is scary. Dancing is scary because a lot can go wrong.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I see the Dance with the Stars people, and I'm like, I want them to do well. You don't want anyone to do crap. And you can see some people with the disappointment in their face. There might be a little stumble or something, and you feel so bad for them. Yeah. And then they go over, and the judges are like, "Well, not bad, but." You nearly fell on your face there when you were doing a bit of work.
I'm actually dying to get rid of them because I need to get to Lanzarote in April. And if they keep standing there on the steps, I'm no closer to Lanzarote. I'm like, come on, let's get rid of them. Let's go.
Yeah. It is. It's one of them shows. It's definitely a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Really is. And it's a big commitment as well.
Can I ask you?
You can.
How would your missus feel about you dancing with someone like, I don't know, Salome Chachua, one of the dancers?
She'd have no problem at all because I unconditionally love my missus.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've heard about the course of these TV dance shows, though, haven't you?
There is, you know.
Yeah, just saying.
Well, come here, listen to me. With a face like mine, you've got to be realistic. So, no, I wouldn't have any problem dancing with a beautiful woman because I'm only going home to one beautiful woman.
And me and my
partner do dance sometimes just randomly. We put on a song on the Bluetooth speaker in the kitchen and we
do
dance.
Yeah.
Small fish, big fish.
That is a lovely thing.
She's amazing.
To do.
She told me not to be talking about her on the podcast. Yeah. They can kill me.
And every time
we get married this year, Jen.
Every time we do the podcast, he rings her.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I'm part of a menage a trois because I'm part of their personal life. And when I go, "How are you?" Eric's in the car with me again. And I go, "Hey, Linda. Hey, Eric." And then they start filling me in on their day and all that. And I go, "I don't really need to be hearing all this."
I just can't believe you have a little dance in the kitchen.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
That's
lovely.
We
dance together, yeah. We slow dance and then we also do mad dances as well. So it's great.
Slow sets.
Yeah.
Bring back the slow sets.
Definitely.
I remember
being in the Tara Club of a Sunday afternoon at 2:30, man, and the women were queuing up to dance with me.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, was fucking the hottest thing in Ballymun.
It's because I had all the oaks.
No, that was the drugs.
See, I can't. I think it's harder for women to instigate that kind of a dance, a slow set, because, like, inevitably it's going to lead to the ride.
Yes.
And, like, sometimes you just want to dance. You don't want to have the ride.
Not back in the bleeding my day.
I'm not talking about in the hall.
I'm saying when I was a young lad on the Tardy Club, you'd be lucky if you got the finger someone at the back of the eye, like.
There's a cut down right there. Oh, my God.
So, come here, Eric. Here's a question for you.
Did I ever think of something back
in the eye? Your slow song that you like to dance.
I think when Hops. Do you remember Hops? People would have a hop. We used to have a hop.
No.
So basically,
no, remember the harp.
No, but I'm saying, if you could slow dance to any song with your wife.
Context here. So like when you're 14 or 15 around that area, all the kids just hanging out with each other, and it was someone's birthday, they'd have a hop.
Yes.
So in that gaff.
Yes.
The man dad would go upstairs, and you'd have the whole sitting room in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And somebody was playing the tunes. It'd be all dancing, but then. Because everyone fancied somebody, and you'd have about 8 or 9 slow sets as well during the night. And the song that always brings me back there is Phyllis Nelson, "Move Closer."
Oh, what a tune!
Move Closer. Yeah. That song. That lot, because I was like, "Oh, you heard the words." get her in.
I see. I'm obviously a lot younger than you.
Yes,
two.
You are. Yeah.
I think it would be the Fugees.
Oh.
I think it'd be the Fugees.
Killing me softly. Yes, killing me softly.
Oh, the hop you brought me back there. Remember them? They were great. They were great, but stressful.
What would yours be, Will?
Mine would be Karen White, Superwoman.
Sorry, what?
Superwoman. Do you never hear that song?
No.
Karen White.
Early in the morning, I make breakfast at your table.
No.
Make sure that your coffee has its sugar and cream. Did you never hear that tune?
No.
There's a cover there for Levain.
Superwoman. No.
You can sing as well.
Have a listen to that tune when you're going home. Karen Mui. Superwoman.
Well, that's sister.
I'll put it.
Karen
Mui. No, she's not. Susan, my sister.
We had a chat about this foreigner. I want to know what love is. And you know the way, like, it's a big... Dublin is a big melting pot. It's a big melting pot of multicultural society. I go, oh no, that looks like a foreigner. The only way to find out is roll down the window and go, I want to know what love is. And then if he comes back, I want you to show me.
Definitely a foreigner. Sing it to me. I want to be where love is. Let's talk about love.
Great song.
Yeah, oh my God. What a human.
Yeah, brilliant. So have you any more questions for Jen now, because we have
Dad's birthday today, God rest him.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, Georgie.
Happy birthday, Georgie.
Georgie's having a big cake up in the school, yeah.
Lovely. Jennifer, we didn't even go into your business, your entrepreneurial skills in real life, owning a salon now.
That's because she minds her own business, Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't even bring you a business.
I knew that because, as I say, I follow you on Instagram. And I see you win awards and everything now. Image.
Award-winning
awards.
Salon.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
award-winning.
I'm not like Salon of the Year. It's no big deal. So I had to invest in a salon because I have to get my hair done every 2 weeks. And I was like, this is going to be cheaper for me if I just invest in a salon. Be fucking done
win.
With it.
I'd say your staff are shitting. Oh my God, we better get this right.
Yeah. Give it a plug, Jen.
It's called Hair People. It's Hair People. It's on Adelaide Road. They're amazing. No, my business partner, she does me hair. She does.
Okay. And you trust her?
Oh, yeah. She's sure. Amazing. I met her on a set of a TV show. And she was started doing my hair. And then in COVID, I said, God, I really want to do something else. Because obviously we were all out of work and doing nothing. And she knocked on my door with a business plan that I couldn't say
from
no
to. From a safe distance.
Yeah, absolutely.
GHD and a scissors.
She was not coming to my house to do my hair.
Yeah, but we were, yeah.
Yeah, she was flinging it at me from afar, the hair dye.
She had a scissors 2 metres long it was. And she was like that.
So you're looking for a strainer.
And it's good. And it's great because, you know, I love business as well. And
you clearly got the business acumen.
A little bit, yeah.
You know,
I don't know. Who knows?
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Jennifer Zamparelli on the You Must Be Joking podcast.
It was
Jennifer,
a pleasure. It was great.
I want to know what love is.
Let's talk about love.
She's a foreigner.
Definitely. With a name like Zamparelli.